Welcome to the Making After School Cool podcast, the link between research and quality after school practices. This podcast is brought to you by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education. And I'm your host, Michael Wilson.
The topic for today's podcast is how after school programs can enhance the academic performance of students during the school day. Today we feature Fraser Elementary, which has received a blue ribbon status in the Children's at Risk rating scale. We'll also interview Patrick Gill, who works with children at risk, to get information regarding the methodology on how they come up with their rating scales and how the rankings can assist parents, school staff, and district administrators. Patrick Gill is here with me. He's with Children at Risk, and they've developed a ranking system in the form of a report card that evaluates schools' performance in the Houston area, as well as other districts throughout Texas. Patrick, can you tell me what is your role with Children at Risk?
My official title is the Associate Director for the Center for Social Measurement and Evaluation, which basically means I'm the Associate Director of our research team. I lead a lot of our data work. RISC is a nonprofit research and advocacy organization that works in public policy around a variety of children's issues. So we work primarily at the state level. We're based here in Houston, but we also have offices in Dallas and Fort Worth. And then because we do state level advocacy work, we're in Austin a lot. And we do work all over, not just in those places, but we meet with folks from all over the state. And the issues we work on are education, parenting, human trafficking, and then we have a new center, the Center for New American Children, which focuses on immigrants, children who are immigrants, or the children of immigrants. So both first and second generation new Americans. And our final issue area is nutrition, health and nutrition. So we do work in all five of those areas to pass legislation, to work with local leaders to help try to improve the lives of children in Texas.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the report card that comes out. It comes out annually, correct?
Yes, our school rankings come out annually. This past spring was the 12th edition. We've been doing them since 2007.
So tell me, how did y'all first get started with the ranking, and what was the idea behind it?
So the original intent of the rankings in 2007 was to both highlight strong performance in schools across it. Originally, it was just in the Houston area. Now we do it statewide, but at the time, it was just in the Houston area. And to highlight strong performance among schools, and then to also highlight areas that need improvement to make sure that we're serving all students and giving them the education they deserve. It was intended with a few different audiences. First was parents, so that they could make more informed decisions about where they're sending their kids to school. Also school and district leaders to help them target supports. And then also for policymakers at the local and state level to help identify ways to improve the school system as a whole. And really we were trying to do it because nothing similar existed in Texas at the time. TEA hadn't yet started doing its own A through F rating system, so we wanted to create this system that would be easy for folks to understand and to consume in a way that would hopefully be helpful in both helping to improve schools and then also in giving parents a tool to make decisions with.
And what type of feedback have y'all received since launching the ranking system?
So we get a lot of different kinds of feedback from a lot of different folks. I think the people we hear from the most about it are parents, and in general, like every year when we do it, we get calls from parents, and it's generally really positive. I think they see it as a way to, you know, like the original intent, to help them make those decisions, and whenever new ratings come out, they'll call and ask questions about what do the ratings mean, what does this mean for them, and how should whatever they're seeing impact their decision about their kids? Because, you know, parents want to make sure they're making the best decisions for their kids, so they see this as a tool to do that.
Have y'all received any feedback from the state?
Yeah, so we actually, we do work with TEA on this, and we've been particularly recently working with Mike Morath, the TEA commissioner, and he sees a lot of value in children at risk, even with the state's A through F system, in us continuing to do ours because he thinks it's important, and this is one of the reasons we continue to do it, to have that third-party accountability, an unbiased third party that's looking at the same information and releasing its own set of ratings to help hold the state accountable. So that's something that he's really interested in, is making sure that there are those outside groups that are still holding him and then his agency to account.
And what about school districts? What type of feedback do you get from school districts?
School districts, a lot of them are really positive, and in particular when we're showing great things happening in their schools, they want to highlight those. I think they do have some feedback about what they perceive as shortcomings in the methodology, which I think are fair. Our methodology is predominantly based on test scores, which you and I know have limitations in terms of what they can tell you about what's happening at a campus, but also it's the most easily available information on a statewide basis. So we have to rely on the information that's available, and we use it the best we can, which school districts, some of them will point out, again, isn't necessarily giving you the full picture, but it's better than nothing, I think, much better than nothing. And, we're always looking for ways to improve. We work really closely with school districts. We changed our methodology for the rankings last year, and we did that in consultation with a lot of districts here in Houston. We talked to Spring Branch ISD, we talked to HISD, we talked to the Yes Prep schools to get input and feedback on our old methodology, areas they thought we could improve, because we want this, again, to not just be a tool for parents, but also to be a tool for schools and school leaders.
Well, speaking of schools and school districts, Pasadena ISD Fraser Elementary is a school that we provide funding for after-school programs, either in the form of 21st century grants or partnership grants. And we're excited to see that they are one of the schools that did pretty well on your report card. Can you share with us your findings on Fraser Elementary?
So Fraser Elementary last year was, for the first time ever, one of our what we call gold ribbon schools, which are shorthand high-performing, high-poverty schools. These are schools that have at least 75% of their student bodies are living in economically disadvantaged circumstances, but the school still receives an A or a B in our annual school ranking. So these are schools that we know that students living in economically disadvantaged circumstances and the schools that are serving those students face a lot of challenges. And these are schools that are doing really well and giving these students that are facing these challenges a really great education and the education that they deserve. So we release a list every year of our gold ribbon schools around the state to highlight the great work that they're doing and to hopefully allow them to be a model for other schools, both in Houston and then in other areas around the state. So Fraser last year was one of these gold ribbon schools, and we're really proud of the work they do. We actually, we just released a report earlier this year about some of our gold ribbon schools and looking at the practices they have, in looking at the ways that they are serving their students to help overcome those challenges. And then we created a blueprint based on the work we did looking at some of these schools so that parents can know what to advocate for in their own schools to improve the education their students are receiving. And Fraser was one of the schools that we researched and that we spoke with and worked really closely with in developing this blueprint. So if you go to our website and look for our gold ribbon blueprint, Fraser is one of the highlighted schools.
Oh, great, great, great. With the future, do you look at this as being something that y'all continue to do, that it's a valuable part of the Children's at Risk portfolio?
I think it is. It's definitely one of the things we're most well known for, and I think we definitely anticipate continuing it. We're actually, historically, we've released our rankings in the spring based on the previous year's data. So this past May, when we released, it was based on data from the 17-18 school year. We're actually changing that going forward, in part thanks to the conversations we've been having with Mike Morath and TEA. We're going to be doing another round of rankings in the fall, in around October is when we anticipate release, and that will be using the 18-19 school year data. So we will no longer be, quote unquote, a year behind with the data, and that will be going forward, that'll be the new normal, so that we can be the most valuable tool possible both to schools and especially in this case for parents as they're making their decisions for the next school year and that kind of thing.
Well, on our end, we do have some schools that were ranked with your ranking system, and it definitely provides us some feedback in regards to the types of services that we provide, And then speaking with the school administrators on what kind of impact our services or after school programs can have on their school, and is it something that has enhanced the academic abilities of their students. So for us, it worked out really well. So we're excited about the work that you guys are doing. We wish you the continued success, and we look forward to looking for upcoming data and reports that you guys may publish.
All right, thank you so much. Happy to be here.
As stated earlier with my interview with Patrick Gill with Children at Risk, Fraser Elementary in Pasadena ISD has been recognized as a Blue Ribbon Campus on Children at Risk Annual School Ranking Scale. To provide some insight on how after-school programs can enhance students' abilities during the school day, I interview Fraser's principal, Ms. Wendy Wiseburn. Ms. Wiseburn, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
Share with us how you incorporate after-school activities to help motivate and enhance your students' academic performance.
Yes. First of all, I want to say that we absolutely love our CASE after-school program. This is my eighth year here as principal, and just watching the program and the success that it's had has been really something special. We're very well known for our program, and parents are always, we always have a waiting list going for kids to get into the program. But I think one thing that makes our program so special is, first of all, the coordinator of the program is our school counselor, Susan Blue, and she does an absolutely amazing job organizing the program, getting engaging activities for the kids to do, and really she's never just settled with, let's just run it the same way it's been running. We're always analyzing it and tweaking it and seeing how can we make the program better to meet the needs of the kids. And all of our staff that's in our after-school program are our regular Fraser staff. So whether it's paraprofessionals or classroom teachers, or we have some of our special education teachers that work the after-school program, teachers from upper grades, from lower grades, they all work at the school. So they know the kids know them, they know the curriculum and what we're working on. So there's a lot of follow-up in the afternoon. When school gets out, if they're working on their homework, the teachers are very focused and targeted and know what the kids need help with. And it just helps build a relationship piece so that even if kids haven't had those teachers yet, they know them through CASE. So as they get older into those grades, they're ready to go into those teachers' rooms. It just overall helps our school tremendously. If we had non-school staff working, it would be a completely different program. It would still be good because we have good activities in place and good clubs and things like that. But no, having the school staff be part of it, just it's such a smooth transition from we work around the schedule. So the duty schedules of the people that need to go on right at 3, we work with them. It just makes it such a smooth transition for everybody involved in the program. And then if one person can't work that day, if something comes up right away, they can check with other staff members to see, hey, can you cover for me? Can you work today? And there's a lot of communication back and forth. It's a really solid system.
Wow, that sounds great. Are there any particular activities you've incorporated in the after-school program that assist students with their school day academic performance?
Yes, we have a good variety of activities. On the academic end, we have, at its most basic, is just a homework help club, and the grades rotate through the homework help club, and it's a certified teacher that is there. And the kids can bring homework they have or assignments that they need help with. Or sometimes the teachers from the daytime might give the after-school teacher, hey, this kiddo needs a little help with this. Here's some extra work for them. So there's a lot of communication going back and forth to directly support what's happening in the classroom on a day-to-day basis. But we also have things like a math club where they do some really cool math activities. We have a science club, which is one of the kids' favorites, and it's our science lab teacher that teaches that club, and they're always doing really cool experiments and making things, and the kids get to take home stuff. We have different reading clubs and reading activities to support reading in general and other fun activities. But then we also have just some fun other clubs. We have a choir. Some of the contracted services that we've gotten through HCDE include a golf club, and the kids love that. And so even though that's not an academic skill, they're learning some academic pieces there, but just teaching them something that probably a lot of those kids would never have the opportunity to learn. And kids are making different friends with each other throughout the club that maybe they wouldn't be during the day. And then one of our favorites has also been this year, one of the contracted services was an art club where the kids worked on a self-portrait, and they did it for like, I want to say like 8 weeks, for an hour and a half a week. And the result that came from that is so incredible. And the connection that kids made with each other and discovering their own skills and building up their confidence level, because some of the kids in that group were kind of shyer kids, truly was remarkable, like amazing. These self-portraits that these kids, nine-year-olds did, were truly just amazing. I love the program. I love the support we get from the Harris County Department of Ed, and just the contracted services have been really cool, whether it's fencing or art or, like I said, the golf or any of the different ones we've had. We have loved all of them. They've been very successful, and they've added a lot to our program. So we have the academic piece. We have these fun clubs going on. We have a great coordinator. It's overall just a great program, and we're really thankful that we have it again.
Ms. Wiseburn, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. We're really excited to be a partner with you on helping your students achieve high academic excellence. And congratulations on your Blue Ribbon status with Children at Risk.
Thank you. We're happy to help.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of the Making After School Cool podcast. I want to thank our guest, Patrick Gill with Children at Risk, and Ms. Wendy Wiseburn, principal of Fraser Elementary. Please join us on future podcasts as we continue to explore issues that are relevant in after-school and out-of-school time filled.